Could you tell me about your team? How did you end up choosing
the VAD team?
Yeah.
So there's no money for VAD, as you know. So the only money that the health services got from the department was for the implementation, which was me at 0.5. I was doing a little less than that because I'm a bit got some different skill sets, so I'd used up a lot of the money earlier on. So we realised very quickly that as a big health service, so Metro North, Metro South are probably some of the biggest health services in Queensland, that we weren't going to be able to have implementation of a model based on one person or one thing. But also because of the health service directive that was given to us from the department, we needed to be able to have a Metro North based service. So there had to be a team, there had to be support of a team. So then it was the bid for a little bit of money at the end of the, like, so that's the last 6 months of this financial year to say, what does that model look like? So then it was the algorithm of, well, what is a team? Who is the team? So we kind of started right from the gold standard, right? We need a doctor probably to be the lead, to be a clinical facing lead, to deal with a number of the conscientious objections that were going to come. We needed some nursing support. We were kind of agile in that model, like, do we need two? Do we need one? Do they need to be an authorised practitioner? Do they just need to be a good person? Do they need to have skills in palliative care or counselling or bereavement or all of the above or none of the above? Do you try to separate them from palliative? So we knew we needed kind of doctor, something, nursing, something. We knew we needed administration support, and we believed that we needed some allied health, so some social work or psychology, that kind of thing. Our steering committee that we implemented kind of said, okay, well, actually we think we need some kind of pain management. Maybe we need some capacity assessment. These are all the things that were going to be important for the delivery of a VAD service. So when you start adding all these people, it gets really expensive. Like, well, there's no money. Like, we were going to have to justify what we needed, and it had to be minimal. So we, you know, do the old options paper. Okay, we need the doctor, the nurse, the whole thing, or we need some clinical leadership. We need some nursing for navigation, coordination. We need someone to tie this all together from an administrative perspective, and maybe we need some counselling support. So through the options paper, we actually finally got approval for a little suite of a team. So we got 0.5 of a doctor, 1.2 FTE for nursing, 1 FTE for administration, and 0.5 from memory for social work or psychology. So we didn't actually get any applicants from a clinical lead medical perspective. We got lots of support from a nursing perspective, lots of support. But again, really weren't sure what that suite was going to look like. So the job description is very random around VAD, essentially. We knew we probably just needed someone that understood VAD or wanted to understand VAD and be passionate about VAD. Like, it was still early, it was implementation. And we kind of thought we needed some social work and psychology. We got no applicants through that process, none. So we ended up with quite a bit of nursing support, and that's why we've ended up with actually 1.8 FTE of nursing, both of which have a history in kind of ICU, definitely palliative care, happy to talk about death, comfortable with death, understanding the processes of death and the psychology that goes behind it. So, we currently have 0.2 medical leadership, and that's really, they are an authorised practitioner, but it's more around the advocacy support to their medical colleagues, nursing and administration, and we never got any HP support ever. We kind of didn't go back out to recruitment. We could have. So that was kind of November, December. There was lots of, you know, is it Christmas? People don't really want to apply for jobs. We could have gone back out again, but through the implementation, we didn't really know exactly what they would do. Like, we knew that their counselling and the psychology input was important, and we knew that that was not only important to patients and their loved ones, but to staff. But we weren't actually sure on a day-to-day basis what that expensive resource would do. So we have kept that in our back pocket, but not recruited to it. And what we actually found was that our nurses at that higher FTE, who were now versed in VAD processes and legislation, that's really what people were looking for through this first 6 months. They wanted to know, well, what happens in VAD? What's my role in VAD? What do you expect from me? What should I expect from you? And our nursing teams could do that. And they are also providing all of the bereavement pre-briefing support to patients and their families. And again, it's more around the preparedness for VAD. That's what the input has been thus far. I don't know if that's what it'll be moving forward, but I think we've kind of landed accidentally on a good model for the implementation to do a gap analysis on what's required moving forward. And now that will hopefully lead us well into business as usual.